of this focus, which will occur on December 10th at the same time, part two, a portion of looking at California FAST. So we our format today is a short panel presentation. We've asked each panelist to spend about 8 minutes or so presenting on their view of what's working, what needs work, and a little bit about maybe their vision for the future. And then we saved at least 40 to 50 minutes for a really good, robust discussion, a give and take. So I think that'll be quite productive and fun. So I've asked the panelists to introduce themselves when they speak. And I'll do a little timing. I'll give you a 1 minute warning when the 8 minutes is approaching, and you'll hear a little chime, and then that'll be your clue. So Christine, oh, and I did put up the FAST, I'm sorry, in the chat, an evaluation link. So if you either have to leave early or at the end of the call or whenever, if you could give us some feedback on today's call, it's a link to SurveyMonkey. So again, we value your feedback and are always looking at improving how we can do things here. So Christina, you've got the slides, right? So I'll ask you to put them up. So today is really looking at FAST, Functional Assessment Service Teams, and the California experience. We know that some of you listening have experience in other states, and we're anxious to hear from you as well. So I'm Jude Kales. I'm based in LA, and my work really focuses on building competencies in healthcare and emergency services to ensure that people with disabilities and others with access and functional needs are integrated and included in the whole gamut of service delivery, policies, processes, procedures, training, and audits. You know, one of the things I'm known for is moving the emergency world from that vague special needs label that we all loved to really integrating more of a functional needs focus into planning and response. My work is primarily with states and counties and cities in developing inclusive emergency management plans. So today, our objectives, slides went away, huh? Yeah, slide two there. We're really going to look at history, vision, development, and look at outcomes, strengths, weaknesses, and what does the road forward really look like? So I'm going to take the part about history. And because I'm been around for a while, you know, decades before Katrina, really as far back as the 70s and 80s, a handful of us advocated and documented the experience, the deep and dramatic lack of quality and inclusionary services that we people with disability experience. For example, the kind of things that we were seeing back then were people being turned away from shelters, wheelchair users, service animal users, people who are blind or deaf, sometimes separated from their families, and sometimes actually institutionalized. So, as the originator of thinking of something that we could do better, I kind of came up with that FAST concept. Because, really, for decades, I've been advocating that we've got to close the service gaps and stop the civil rights violations by really integrating the expertise of the disability community and the lived disability experience into emergency services. So in 2007, I actually had the opportunity under a contract with California Department of Social Services to work with a team there. So we further developed the FAST concept plans and a training course that was actually approved down the road by FEMA. And so the vision, the next slide, was that we could do better and we could work smarter together by really building a partnership with the community, with cities and counties and state and the Red Cross. That the problem was, we were ready to help, but centers and other community-based groups were turned away because we didn't, quote, lack the proper credentials. So we weren't known and we weren't kind of certified or whatever it took to build the trust. So what we looked at was, there was a given that emergencies degrade or break the critical and personal support systems that many of us live with and depend on, the equipment, the outside noise or the equipment, the customized environments that definitely work for us, and supplies in non-emergency times, but during an emergency, we're all really just proportionally impacted by those things that don't work well. So we're on the slide that says vision, slide 5, I think it is. One more, yeah. So the intent was to blend competencies and skill sets of both government and community disability services to really provide assistance to people with complex and urgent disability-related needs. So those competencies were really thought to translate into nimble, flexible, and really a scalable response that, you know, wasn't constrained or confined by rules that demanded staying in some artificial lane of focus. And really advocacy that translated into holding all accountable for helping to avoid violating civil rights, and including response teams that were not only for and about, but most importantly were of, by, and with people with disabilities, including people who were represented the whole gambit of disability, blind, deaf, and you can create the list because I know you know it. The intent was to weave team members who identify as people with disabilities and have the lived experience and can apply their deeper experience in delivering support through a social model versus a medical model lens. Because the lived experience, you know, the details, the diversity, the nuances, and the complexity of living with disability really can't be duplicated or always thoroughly understood by those without a disability. So we really were looking at integrating and listening, learning, respecting, and incorporating what people were telling us they needed in terms of emergency planning and response competencies, that really took it to the account, the complexities of maintaining one's health, one's safety, and surviving emergencies. So one of the things that we often talked about in training was what looks vulnerable, fragile, and medically acute to the untrained eye was often just living with disability. And that was one of the important things that those embedded in disability service systems brought to these teams. So the vision was on slide six to really bring that cross disability knowledge to the teams and apply the core IL values, really honoring people's dignity of risk, choice, and self-determination. So slide seven, the vision again was identifying, remedying, and retooling interventions. So to get past the biases and the stereotypical beliefs about disability and applying the social model. So and I'm going to stop by just saying with the last slide that I've been thinking a lot about what would FAST 2.0 look like. And we know that the current model is a heavy lift for some counties and with, who's struggling with budgets and other things. And so we need to look at that. We need to look at, does the focus maybe need to be broadened? And how do we make sure that the whole community is included? And kind of looking at the training and the evaluation of the FAST program as well. So hopefully in the second part of this discussion today, we will get to that. So Ron, I'm going to turn it over to you, our first panel member, and take it away.
June, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. My name's Ron Haylog, and I wear multiple hats. Right now I'm working for Independent Living Resources, Solano, Contra Costa County, but I'm also the vice chair for ALCO VOAD. That's Alameda County Volunteer Organizations Active in Disasters. And I do a lot of work with Listos, California, where we're trying to do the outreach for a lot of trainings to people with disabilities and also seniors, try to get them prepared for any kind of disasters that may come. Right now we've been mostly working with the PSPS, public safety power shutoffs, for those who don't know, for California. Many people have been impacted by that, and trying to work with CFILC and getting that information out to people to get prepared for and get resources out to them. But I'm mostly an Alameda County FAST team member. I became one back in 2000, I believe it was 15, 16, somewhere around there, Sandy. And just to give you a little bit of background on Alameda at this point, we have 26 members who are FAST team members, with two of them that will be coming on board as soon as they do the pledge, the swearing in. We've been working with the two different ILCs. That's the SIL over in the Berkeley, Northern Alameda County area, and CRIL down in the Southern Alameda County area. Back then, I used to be the executive director for CRIL. So it kind of gives me a tie-in both ways. Right now, we've got two members from the IL field that actually are FAST team members, myself and Jenny from the SIL. So, we want to make sure that we have that connection. And I'm sure Sandy's going to be talking a little bit more about this, but we also did not want to have the FAST team go underneath the medical model. And so in doing so, we kind of came up with the idea, this is Sandy's idea, it's like, I'm sure she's going to be telling you a little bit more about it, but having the two different ILCs and WID as part of a resource partnership board to oversee the FAST team, to make sure that FAST was not going to go underneath medical. It was going to be separate, that we were going to be really focusing on what needs they were in the community. During this year, FAST has been deployed two different times. And during these times, it's been a little bit tough. It's definitely been different, just because of the fact that we are now living in a COVID-19 environment. And where before, we were being deployed and we can go to the shelters, it's not like that now. It's very much to the point where, anytime you go, you have to mask up. The two different deployments that we've been faced with is the safe ground hotel shelters. So making sure that anybody who's going into the hotels, we're going to be getting that assistance. And so we were going in there. And then also for California, you know that there's been wildfires. And the wildfires for us, it's like we've had Santa Clara, the SUC fire, which was pretty much part of Santa Clara County, Alameda County, San Joaquin County was the second largest in California. We were deployed out there to make sure that anybody coming through that needed sheltering, we're going to be getting supports before they go to the hotels. So we're a part of that that network. For us, I think, you know, as far as the communication goes, it's been tough for our guys, just because we've got, I want to say we have nice connection, nice communication with the state, but sometimes it gets a little bit skewed as far as how and what needs there are for our general area or for mutual aid. We might be getting a phone call, you know, during one of the events that we had, I'm just going to share this one story. We had a an exercise called Urban Shield. And this was about 2.5 years ago. And Urban Shield was an exercise where we learned what we could do during a deployment. And just during that initial exercise, what we found out was that the state had actually issued out fast team state members to be deployed in our local areas without informing us. And so for us, it was kind of like, well, wait a minute, what if we can go to Oakland? Instead, we got shifted down to Fremont. And but it just seems that communication needs to be a little bit more tighter with what we're doing and what we're going with. And then also just for looking forward for us, you know, one of the ideas, it's like I met with our coordinator out here out in Alameda. And one of the things that we could probably be more beneficial with is actually having a connection with some of the emergency personnel up front, maybe be at the EOC so we can get that information straight up front. I know they do it differently in different counties. Contra Costa County does it a little bit differently. There's a, you know, an AFN coordinator there that helps out. There's three of them. For us, we don't have one. It's we are still working our way through that. I know that there's funding that we're looking at trying to incorporate, but for us, having somebody at the EOC whose specific job is this would be beneficial for us. Right now we have a coordinator who's kind of split between CCS and this. And during these times, it can be very, very tough, very, very difficult to actually have that deployment, have that coordination. And so for another thing too, is I think, you know, with FAST, it's a great concept, but I think it needs to be incorporated with more of the ILCs. You know, maybe have with our partnership that we have now, it's great, but then having multiple meetings with them would actually go a lot farther. You know, I know when Sandy was our coordinator, it's like we were getting a lot of information all the time. And Sandy, I praise Sandy. She did an awesome job in keeping us informed and then having us deployed. I think, Sandy, when you were here, we were actually deployed in every single event. We didn't miss one. And, you know, I think it comes down to the person who's going to be here. It's going to be really helping us out and how that coordination comes into play. The other other thing that I think that we do need help and support is, you know, once you become a FAST team member, there seems to be a separation. You know, you're a FAST team member. Great. What other connection? If there's not a disaster, what happens? So if there's a way that we can stay incorporated, maybe more training, maybe more support. I know Contra Costa had a training, which was great. I had asked the question, could current FAST team members be part of that? They're like, Ron, this is really for initial first timers. But I think there needs to be more follow-up work and more steps in order to make sure that they stay connected, they stay updated, and that we really do know what the communication flow is that's coming through. You know, I'm also part of the Bay Area UWASI. So if we can somehow incorporate what FAST Team Bay Area UWASI is doing, and that's the Bay Area Urban Safety and Urban Safety UWASI. I forgot the A. Safety Initiative. I always forget that one. And so maybe have that incorporated with FAST Team as, and we were even thinking about it would be neat to have CERT team members so that these aren't just different silos out there, but that there's a way that we can incorporate all this together. Because, you know, when we do neighborhood preparedness, we look at it and we tell people, who do you know in your neighborhood that might need some support? And this last training I had a group saying, you know, we know, Ron, it's like right down the street, I have a person who's elderly, she's in a wheelchair, and we all automatically know. And that's where I think that we can actually get more involved into it too, is part of the preparedness and also the overarching of FAST Team. And so June, I think that's pretty much what I had as far as an overview.
That's a lot, and that's a lot to unpack. So I think we'll get back to a lot of your points in the discussion. That's good work.
Thank you. It's like, and again, it's like I'm throwing that out there. There's a lot of learning that's going on with FAST, especially now in COVID. I think it's been, you know, having PPE, having that equipment, because we know that PPE in the initial phases, we're going to, the big need was for medical. We were not considered medical. So that was an issue for us that we had to deal with. And also even organizations that I work with were calling me up when I was the, you know, as the Alco-VOAD person, they're like, Ron, where do we get PPE? And that was a difficult task. And so definitely there's some routes of communication that I love to see built on. So June, all back right. to you.
We'll get back to that. So I'm going to turn it over to Sherry. I think you're next. And I think we have some slides that Sherry sent over as well, Christina. So Sherry Burns, over to you. And also
okay.
the timer here.
There we go. My camera wasn't working there for a second. You're going to hear probably some very similar recommendations and ideas that Ron just shared with you. I think they're probably fairly universal and not specific to any particular county. But June asked me to cover basically from our perspective in Santa Clara County, what's working, what needs work, and what's a vision for the future. So a little bit of background on myself. I'm the executive director of Silicon Valley Independent Living Center, so one of the 28 SILs covering the state of California. And I've been involved in disaster services response since the Loma Prieta earthquake, so for a number of years. And this is very, very important to me, and important that we integrate disability services, disability knowledge, and integrity into everything that we're doing as we improve on our preparation and response to any type of disaster. I also serve on our local VOAD, Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster, for Santa Clara County, which is CADRE, the Collaborating Agencies Disaster Relief Effort. And SVLC was a founding member of CADRE when it started in the early to mid 90s after the Loma Prieta earthquake. So we have a lot of experience in this area. This is something that SVLC has been very involved in, and making sure that members of our community individually and their families are as prepared as possible, have the resources, knowledge, and tools in order to personally be prepared for disasters, but also that we have a seat at the table when we are working with our government entities and other social service agencies to make sure that we are really collaborating with the AFN framework in everything that we plan for and put together with regards to policies and procedures. So we have one originally certified FAST team member, still with SVIOC, and a number of us have gone through additional other trainings, but we're waiting for the opportunity to have another FAST training here in our local area. So what is working is that our county does have about 40 FAST members. Most of them were trained through our local social service agency a number of years ago. And then, as I mentioned, that there are also some community-based organizations that went through some of those initial trainings back in the mid to late 2000s. The Bay Area has a few FAST members from the local independent living centers, as I mentioned, although in my opinion, there's far too few ILC representatives in FAST. We also have good relationships and communication and a strong vote, as I mentioned, with CADRE. CADRE has function teams, and they are led by specific CBOs in our community. And for the AFN, Access and Functional Needs Function Team, it is co-led by SVILC and the San Andreas Regional Center. So we work very closely together to address the needs of our AFN community. And on a monthly basis, we convene a group of government, local government folks with county OES, with the city's emergency management services, and with various CBOs and individual advocates in the community in our AFN sub-working group. And so we try to address as many barriers that we see still in our community. Certainly many of them have come up recently in relation to the pandemic and isolation and businesses being closed and trying to reopen under the different tiers, and sometimes how that affects our residents' access and impinges upon their civil rights and their ADA access. So we try to address all of those issues and bring everybody up to a higher level of robust and complete communication and information being made available to folks across the language spectrum of the threshold languages here in the county, as well as folks that are blind, low vision, and deaf and hard of hearing. We also have a seat at the Op Center here in Santa Clara County, CADRE does, and we rotate as far as a officer, basically a duty officer of the month. So we take turns in that responsibility of being on call in case there is an incident where CADRE is being asked to respond. And then we are on those calls with the county local OES officials about what's happening on a day-to-day basis. Obviously, in the last couple of months, the biggest events had to do centered around both PSPS and the wildfires. Unfortunately, there is not a specific AFN lead or coordinator, and that's something that we are looking at, both at pushing and supporting at the county level, as well as our main city here, the city of San Jose, in having an AFN person who really is very knowledgeable and is able to be involved in the discussions and planning efforts and implementation efforts during a disaster right there as it's happening and not an afterthought. Some of the other things that are working is Santa Clara County did provide a recent online refresher course. Certainly appreciate very much Vincent Fong at the state allowing. This is the first time the state has had any kind of online FAST refresher course. And Liz Dietz with the American Red Cross and the regional AFN coordinator for the Red Cross did the training. She did an excellent job. It was done in conjunction with the county SSA support. Gilbert Valverde, and they did an awesome job with that refresher course. And it was a couple of hours for folks that had already been FAST trained and anybody interested in learning more about FAST and some of the components of FAST and working with the mass care and shelter efforts. So that was wonderful. We hope to continue that, not only here, but across the state of California. And so what needs work? The next thing. Improved FAST training and curriculum for those who have limited personal or professional knowledge with disability safety and ADA compliance. I can't stress enough that the fact that we have a fairly large cadre here of FAST trained members and certainly across the state, but I think we really do need to take a look at both the initial curriculum, how it is being taught, how it's being implemented, and also the continuing education of that FAST training through having ongoing at least once a year, if not more frequently, additional support and training for previously FAST trained folks. Because there's not, and Ron mentioned this, there's not a lot of interaction, and I think this is another area that needs work, of bringing the FAST teams into other components of emergencies that happen, even if they're minor kinds of things, of integrating us into day-to-day disaster safety and knowledge within the community. There's some of that, I think, knowledge loss because it's not utilized. Maybe we have a disaster once a year, twice a year. Seems like they're more frequently now. But I think a lot of those folks have lost some of that because of not being able to utilize their skills that they learned through that original training. So more frequent FAST training opportunities for disability advocates. I think we need folks that have personal disability experience that are trained to be involved. That was June's original concept. People with disabilities should always be and sometimes leading these efforts and making sure Sherry, that the personal knowledge and
Sherry, Sherry, I'm sorry. This is Christina. We're getting a lot of feedback on your headphones. Uh-oh. I'm not sure. I'm looking. It seems to be more when you move.
Okay. I will try to sit still. Sit still. Is this better right now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know. Sometimes the transmitter and receiver don't work in sync together very well.
Yes.
So I will try to sit still right here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. So we need more folks with disabilities that are FAST trained members. They have the personal experience. It's not second nature of learning secondhand be able to see what are the issues that need to be addressed. And I'll just give you an example of recently, certainly during the summer, late August, when we had the SCU fires that Ron mentioned, but also the CZU fire that affected Santa Cruz County and San Mateo County. Lots and lots of people were evacuated out of the mountain regions and the areas in both of those counties. And one of the largest shelters was opened in Watsonville, a neighboring county. They utilized the fairgrounds there, which was actually a great setting, I think, because it was so vast and a number of buildings could be utilized for sheltering as well as food distribution. And they had a medical there, and it was just a great location to be able to house hundreds of people that had been evacuated from their homes. Unfortunately, the initial FAST members deployed there at the state level missed a lot of things that really should have been caught that concerns for folks that were having to reside there temporarily. The state Vance Taylor Cal OES AFN unit decided that we needed to come in because he had gotten word that there was no needs. And he's like, well, I doubt that there's no needs when you have 600 people in a setting. So can you go over there and take a look? So we deployed FAST team unit from both SVLC as well as Santa Cruz County, Monterey area, the Central Coast Center for Independent Living. There were seven of us that spent better half of a day over there. And there were a number of issues.
Just checking in, make sure you heard that 1 minute chime.
Okay, thanks, June. Sure. So a number of issues that were had been missed: limited signage, no interpreters, inaccessible showers, no oversized or raised cots. A number of things that the state immediately responded to when we let them know about that. So again, making sure that we've got people with disabilities involved in FAST is so important. The regularly scheduled refresher courses, ways for FAST members to work more collaboratively with the regional center, with the Red Cross and other shelter operators, and of course, better communication, as Ron mentioned. The next slide is, next slide, please. Vision for the future. Again, more structured and coordinated FAST program at the state and county levels, comprehensive training curriculum that is disability peer-based and includes safety issues, as I mentioned before with some of the examples, and annual FAST trainings and refresher courses, and of course, including FAST assessment protocols into all shelter operations and making sure that shelter managers are knowledgeable about. Thanks, Jim. Turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Sherry. And that was quite a feat trying to stay still and fit all this in. Thank you. And we'll get back to your important points and discussion as well. So let's see. Next is Sandy. Sandy, I'll turn that timer back on. You'll hear a chime at the 1 minute warning. And over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, June. My name's Sandy Soliday. I'm the recently retired coordinator of the Alameda County Developmental Disabilities Council, which is a policy and program planning unit in the Public Health Department. I was also the Alameda County FAST lead and a founding executive committee member of the Alameda County VOAD. I will certainly piggyback on the things that June, Ron, and Sherry talked about. I do just want to preface this by saying I am speaking now from Medford, Oregon. We recently had the Alameda fire, and there was no alert notification to the community. That bears repeating. And you can imagine the impact to the disability community here. There was no alert notification to the community. So I still very much care about preparing our community for disasters. What is working? I think that when I left, I was very concerned about the creep of the medical model. I was afraid that the Alameda County FAST program would be taken over by the public health disaster manager, who also managed the Medical Reserve Corps. And I, at that time, strengthened our relationship with our private partners, Krill, the Sill, and WID. Now, that worked well. I think it helped to protect the Alameda County FAST program, and I'm gonna slide in what needs work is, and this is true with any, I think everyone would agree, in the emergency management world, excuse me, I'm just getting over a cold, the change in personnel. I mean, the change in personnel is a huge problem. I went to emergency management association meetings. I was involved in UASI. I was involved in public health disaster efforts, but I spent a lot of time educating people about the FAST program. We lack the AFN infrastructure that Sherry mentioned that they have in Santa Clara County. I had many conversations with our EOC about the need for an AFN coordinator. I do not feel it was a priority in Alameda County. I started as a state FAST member. I had the honor of being trained by June Kales, Richard DeVilder, and Bill Vogel. And I will also echo the sentiment that I think it's very important to strengthen that relationship between the county and the state. I think that's very important. Another thing that's working is I think that the new fast Alameda County lead, who unfortunately is over bandwidth now, I did invite her to contribute some information. Ariana, she was an excellent choice for the lead. She was an experienced FAST member. She had a strong relationship with the disability community. Our partners embraced the choice. So that worked. I think thought needs to be put into transition when personnel does change. I think FAST has to be a part of it. I wrote some notes as I was. Another thing that I think works well, a few years ago, Social Services finally named a new Alameda County Social Services, a new disaster manager, Michael Osborne. The Alameda County FAST has a strong relationship with Michael and SSA in that regard. He has a great deal of respect for the efforts of the Alameda County FAST and the objectives and goals. So that's something that certainly is working. I think that, and I know we're looking forward to the more robust conversation about where we go from here, but I think vision for the future, I think that definitely FAST needs to be incorporated into county emergency management efforts more. I wouldn't say it's for lack of effort from the disability community or the FAST coordinators in our county. It definitely, there needed to be more education and engagement there. I also like the idea of expanding the tasks of FAST. I think that's important. One of the things I did in my role as coordinator, I was often asked to write letters of support. And so I made informal, no MOUs, with the disability organizations that I did. There was a grant, it was a federal grant to get money for vans, but they had to, it was from FEMA, I think, and they had to they had to be incorporated into disaster efforts. So with two of the organizations that we worked with, Alegria Community Living and BORP, we made an informal agreement that if Alameda County FAST needed vans and needed transport, then we would be able to use their vehicles. So that's just an example of a way to expand some of these efforts. I think a more holistic global view and work beyond shelters is a great idea. Anyway, I sent June a fact sheet, which I think most of you have. It's just kind of a history and summary of how Alameda County FAST worked. I know that the recent deployments that Ron referenced was the first time the Alameda County FAST actually activated in Alameda County. So I will also echo complete support for more training and exercises as we need to work with our partners to build our work and our understanding of the work. I think that's it. I think I went under my time, June.
Oh, perfect, Jenny. Thank you.
Sure.
So, perfect. Okay, well, great. I'm hearing a lot of good themes for our discussion that I look forward to. And last but not least, Christina, same thing. I'll set the timer. So we'll kind of invaded our discussion time a bit, but we'll still have at least a good 30 some minutes for discussion. So over to you, Christina.
Thanks, June. This is Christina from the California Foundation for Independent Living Centers. And I think most folks on the call know that disaster work has been on our priority list for quite a number of years and has especially increased over the last couple of years. It's great to hear Sandy, Ron, and Sherry talk about their experiences. And it's good to see so many different folks here today participating from a variety of different agencies and nonprofits and even folks out of state. CFILC has really been looking at the FAST program as, and because we work with June, as a way to further invest in disaster work on a statewide level. And so hearing some of the same and consistent challenges that Ron and Sandy and Sherry brought up are really elevating, I think, the need for us in the independent living community and the disability community as a whole to really figure out a way how we can get to FAST 2.0. And I think some of the ideas that I wrote down from each of the speakers will help in that conversation, maybe with the state and with others that should probably be a part of this conversation. I'm really interested in learning and have been invited as a participant speaker on a variety of different VOAD calls now around the state. And while there is some consistency, there seems to be a lot of inconsistency as well. And so one of the things that I captured today was that there's a real need for a communications flowchart, both statewide and locally and regionally. And I think that that's something that we could probably start working together on immediately. I know how important that is on a variety of different levels, and I can't even imagine not having that available when it comes to a disaster. Some of the other things I think that are really relevant are alert systems. Alert systems countywide, statewide, on a variety of different levels. And I always say that there's not enough alerts that we can all sign up for because you never know who's going to put which alert out. And I've personally experienced that living in the Bay Area. I won't count on one emergency alert system over another. It's better that I just sign up for all that is available in my community. I think those are two of the things that we can continue to push on statewide. But I also just want to mention that since the state is on the call, Vincent did offer a couple of meetings ago, and I've wanted to get grounded in this conversation a little bit more before I go there. But Vincent did offer the opportunity for us to hold a potential virtual FAST training for all of the ILCs that want to be a part of it. So hearing Sherry say that we need more ILC staff a part of FAST, I absolutely agree. One of my concerns, though, is one, what Ron brought up in terms of when there's not a disaster, there's no communication or very little, figuring out what kind of infrastructure we can create to make sure that communication is happening, whether you're in an impacted area or not. And then secondly, one of the things that comes up with that, I think, is to Sandy's point, the turnover in personnel. I think that it's a lot of the times we don't know what the turnaround in personnel is because we're not meeting regularly. We don't know who's left, who's retired. Congratulations, Sandy, and who's still involved in this work. And then third, I think that it's really important for both us as a community and the state to really recognize the expertise that we bring to the table. And I'm not sure how many counties have done this, and maybe some of you on the call have some experience with this. I know many of you have a range of expertise and work that you've done in disaster, but Marin County did place one of their Marin Center for Independent Living Center, their systems change advocate, actually. So basically, for those of you who are less familiar with independent living terminology, the systems change advocate is the community organizer that is a lot of times organizing the local community members, but also attending a lot of meetings and making sure that the disability voice is present on a variety of topics that need positive change and impact for people with disabilities. With that said, Marin was very successful in getting to be, I'm visualizing the org chart that I saw when I was invited to their OES, and I believe that their systems change advocate falls within the first five people, within their flow chart of who is informed and a part of the decision-making process in Marin. So that's how powerful it is in Marin County. And I can tell you, for those of you who don't know my husband, so of course I always know more about my husband's independent living center than the others, but my husband is the director of the Marin Center for Independent Living. And so I use his center as an example all the time because I'm hearing about it, which I feel very grateful for. So I keep my boots on the ground too. They just recently, during some fires that were impacting West Marin's area, they weren't quite in West Marin's area yet, but because of the level of leadership Marin Center has with the county, it was amazing to witness the conversation coming together about how we make sure that Marin Center for Independent Living consumers that have a history of coming to MCIL for services were informed about the disaster, possibly moving into their geographic area, how that would play out, who would contact them, and what would happen as a result of contacting them. And so some decisions were made at a very partnership level that allowed for people with disabilities that would absolutely need to evacuate during a disaster, especially the fires that were heading in their direction, would need to leave early because by the time the warnings came out, it would possibly be too late. But because the center was involved in that process, and because, you know, as independent living centers, we bring the disability expertise and lived experience, the decision was made to evacuate those folks, at least give people the option to evacuate early. We weren't sure if the wind was going to move in that direction or not. But again, because they were involved in the process, they made a unanimous decision together as a team to go ahead, make contact with anybody that they knew out there, like not overstepping HIPAA requirements by any means, but making a group decision for the county to call the folks that they thought were at risk in that area, and the Center for Independent Living calling the folks in that area that they thought were at risk. And I think it ended up resulting in about 5 individuals making the choice to evacuate. And while that number might seem small, the fact of the matter is, to me, that you gave 5 people a choice not to be in a disaster. And I don't even want to think about what that could have ended up looking like had you not given those 5 people a choice. So I really think that that shows the level of the power we have together working countywide with our independent living centers as a part of the leadership structure and decision-making process. So with that, I will absolutely turn it over to you, June, to get the group discussion going on this. And I do have some questions that I'm sure panelists will have as well. So I will wait to the end to bring those up. But I know I am grateful, June, that you and Richard and others had been a part of the initial curriculum development of the FAST program. And I don't know the history of all of how we got to where we are, but I certainly see and very much value the need to move it forward. And I think that for CFILC, because disaster has become an elevated level of priority, we can really make to do that, make time to make that happen, as long as our state partners feel the same way as we do. Thank you, June.
Great. Thanks, Christina. And so now we're going to give you all a chance to pipe in. You've been patient in listening. I think I'd like to do is use the raise hand function in chat. In the participant list, if you were able to use that. If not, if you're not able to use that, just kind of pipe in, and just to one moment to kind of reiterate some of the themes I heard related to maybe FAST 2.0, that FAST can exist in a vacuum and not the silo FAST, that we really need to think about strengthening relationships with the county infrastructure, whether it's BOAD, CERTS, BOAD stand for voluntary organizations active in disasters, CERTs, community emergency response teams, UASI, urban something something
urban area safety initiative. Sorry,
strategic initiative
in the state. So broadening the focus of VASC came up, guarding against medical model creep, attention to the transition of staff changes and what kind of havoc that can sometimes create, and attention to training, updating fast training, the content, refresher training, just-in-time training, leader training, et cetera. So over to you all for a discussion time. And you can also put some of your questions in chat if you're shy.
Hey, June, can I share a few comments?
My company, go ahead. Yeah, good to see you.
Just briefly, I just wanted to explain a little bit about how we do it in Sonoma County, or at least my role anyways. One of the things that we need to add to the list is it's not just an AFN person in the EOC, it's AFN people. We have lots of different roles to play. We get kind of lumped into this care and shelter piece, and we should have someone in care and shelter. We should have someone in transportation. We should have someone in logistics. We should have someone in alert and warning. All those things need to be covered by a AFN person. I can tell you that because I am the AFN person. I've spent way too many hours in the EOC, both virtually more recently, but in the past couple of years. So just a little bit about my background. I work as the manager of the public authority in Sonoma County. And in that role, I also extend myself to serving as the AFN coordinator in the EOC. And I am in the management section of the EOC and report directly to the EOC director. Another key area that I think you all need to develop your, where I think people need to think about is it's communications and relationship building. That's really where people need to focus their efforts. The relationship building with all those organizations that you just mentioned, you know, the VOADs, the COADs, the CERTs, et cetera. Everyone needs to be involved in all of those organizations. And you need to be developing those relationships. In terms of care and shelter, FAST specifically, you need to develop a relationship with the local human services or social services agency. That's really your key to your, you know, to your FAST entry. It's not the EOC. It's the social services or human services agency. The human services agency or social services agency by law has the authority to be, or they have the responsibility for care and shelter during emergencies. They often extend that to the local Red Cross by a contract or something of that nature. At least a portion of it. The Red Cross is very, you know, they can serve a couple of disasters, but in our case, you know, there's too many disasters or too many shelters that get opened up that require more than just a couple shelters. So anyways, I think we need to think beyond kind of the traditional FAST role and look at, you know, what other things are essential. Even PIO, public information. Just this last go around, I realized early on that there were no sign language interpreters at our press conferences. And in fact, a lot of the press conferences throughout the Bay Area, I, in my role, quickly brought that to the attention of our local folks and also to Vance Taylor. Within probably 24 hours, that was reversed. And there were sign language interpreters, ASL interpreters. at those press conferences. So it's just paying attention to those things and bringing those things to the attention of your local PIO folks. So those are just a few things that I wanted to offer to you, but we do have a fair amount of experience here in Sonoma County, and we've developed a pretty good fast team. We've relied on the state and got some good help from Vince and his folks from the state. But clearly, I still have lots to learn myself. This is really a big, big job. And the relationship building and understanding how things work, you know, you can certainly, you know, I need more work on that. Just this last go around, I was finding myself not understanding all the different, you know, pieces to the puzzle. And so we could use a lot of work in terms of that, particularly the state and the counties and how we get mutual support from our local counties, because there are some really good resources available. It's just accessing them, understanding that. So anyways, I just wanted to offer that and would be glad to be available to you folks to answer any questions.
Thanks, Mark. Stay tuned, because I think some of us do have questions for you. So I ask the panelists and the rest of you that you are able to look at the chat. There are some questions in there that you might want to consider answering. And there's one hand up from Liz. Liz, yes. Before you start, just a reminder, try to refrain from using any abbreviations, so I don't need to translate what they are later. But co-ed is what some counties use instead of VOED, I believe. For community organizations active in disasters.
Yes.
So anyways, on to you, Liz. And
thank you. Good morning. My name is Liz Dietz, and I am one of the trainers and people from FAST team representing from the American Red Cross. I am the disaster health services manager, or one of them, here in the Northern California Coastal, as well as being the first Northern California Coastal Region Disability Integration Regional Lead. And yes, handing out business cards in the middle of a disaster is not the way to go. You have to do all of this stuff ahead of time. I'm not shy, by the way. The whole issue of everything that we're talking about, the biggest problem was the whole idea of COVID changing the way we work. And so in Red Cross, we went from congregate wonderful shelters where you open up the gymnasiums, the, you know, fairgrounds, all those wonderful things, to dormitories. By the way, Sonoma, thank you very much for your dormitories at the college. We appreciated that very much. But we had to use hotels, motels, and that changes a lot. Your points on relationship building, absolutely phenomenally important. Your co-eds, your VOEDs, your MRCs, your social services all have to be talking the same language. A couple of the issues that we had in the fires was that some of the communities were not talking to us, that they in fact were doing their own thing, and it became a real big problem. I appreciated everything that Sherry Burns and her group does for all of the communities, because they helped get into and speak to people and get things done and get fast down to there. I appreciate everything that Vincent is doing, and I appreciate being on that team to teach. But yes, it is time. We need to redo those classes. And I certainly found that after teaching the Santa Clara folks, we really do need to beef up a revision class, a refresher course for them. And it's all points to all of us working together. And sometimes we get so siloed that we don't really communicate with one another. And that's really the important point. And I also appreciated Dana McQuarrie reaching out to me and to the group so that we could get things done. And it may be November, but we still are still into hurricanes and wildfires. Yes, we don't have hurricanes here, but we have wildfires. It's very dry out there. If we don't get some rain, we will end up with some mess. So thank you. I'm glad to be part of this group. I think it's fantastic. And I appreciate everything that everybody's doing for the disabled community.
Thanks, Liz. And I see a hand up from Sandy.
Hey, June, really quick. I just have one little comment. It's like, this is Ron again. I think it's very, very important to build that relationship. I think we have to have some type of structure though. When one person leaves, that relationship leaves. And so if we can have it built where it's, you know, there's a handoff of something. So many times I've called, I'm like, oh, isn't so-and-so there anymore? And they're gone. Right. And so it's like, I'm starting from ground zero again. So I think it's really important if we do have that. That's why it's so nice to have these meetings, monthly meetings. Somebody brand new coming in, oh, I don't know who you are. Shake their hand. That's when we used to be able to do it and get to know them. But if there's a way that we can have it built where, yeah, we build the relationship there, but then have some type of pass off would be really, really helpful for us. Sorry, Sandy, for cutting you off. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I want to address that first question from Sarah. Do FAST teams, because that's something I meant to mention, do FAST teams have any budget? And if so, who funds? Where did they get equipment needed, et cetera? Such a good question. It does speak to where should FAST ultimately be housed. Should it be housed in government? Because government does have a bigger budget. That's honestly why I put so much effort into the Alameda County FAST, because I was allowed to buy radios, buy backpacks. The off side of that is, you know, when you're working in government, bureaucracy can be a soul killer. And I had to work with HR, with risk management. We had to get our non-county folks background screened, which again, I paid for. So I know that varies from county to county. It is an important element of FAST. And I'm just going to say, educating the entire emergency management circle is ultimately one of the most important things that you can do. I walked into many shelters, as I said, this is the first time Alameda County FAST was activated. We always provided mutual aid. And it was so much easier when we walked into shelter and they know who FAST was. I've walked into shelters and, you know, no one knew who I was talking about. Walked into a shelter in San Jose, and as soon as Liz Dietz came in, wow, FAST was treated respectfully. Thank you, Liz. That's it, thanks.
Sandy, thanks. And the other question that Sarah put was part two. I think you said it, but who activates FAST? I know, frankly, in LA, that's had a number of FAST trainings over the years. You know, when the fires were raging, you know, I would get emails and say, how come FAST isn't activated? What's going on here? And I don't know if that was a experience for the rest of you, but it was like, never did get answered. What happened? All that FAST training in this particular very large county and the activations that at least I'm not sure happened here.
Well, there is, on that fact sheet that I sent you, June, there is the activation process. And I did that because I had all new leadership in public health when I left, and I was trying to train them, look, this happens. But traditionally what happened when we got mutual aid requests, they would come from the county, they'd go up to the state, and then they'd come down to the FAST coordinators.
It generally comes out of the care and shelter desk. In the EOC. Vincent can probably speak to it too.
Yeah, this is Christina. I've been wondering that too, because we hear from the ILC staff that are FAST folks, that they never get calls depending on where they are, but they're available.
Yeah, this is Sherry. Totally agree with that. And I think that goes back to what, you know, Ron and I were saying earlier, is that we are far underutilized. And I think it's an awareness issue. And part of the fact of the, I think of the problem is that there is not an AFN seat at each of the op centers in all of the counties. I mean, there needs to be somebody. And of course, Mike, you know, talked about having multiple seats. That would be ideal, multiple folks in there, because there's so much coordination that needs to be done on so many fronts. But we need at least to have one person who is knowledgeable in these areas, because a lot of times they just are not even aware that they need to take a look at the AFN issues at the shelters. And also Liz mentioned too, is that sometimes the shelters are operated by other entities. It could be the county, it could be other churches or other groups that that step up, as opposed to the Red Cross setting up the shelters. So you've got various entities that maybe, I mean, the Red Cross knows about us, but some of the others do not, or they're not just, they just don't think about it. And so that's why we need to be always at the seat and at every seat, so that these are not an afterthought.
Sherry, Sandy, Christina, Ron, here's a question from Bruce regarding the liability issue. I know that never seemed to get really worked out in some of the counties that Bruce said, you know, one of the issues was they didn't deploy ILC folks because they didn't know how to handle the insurance issues with the county. And I heard that repeatedly, that, you know, government workers are covered as county employees, and yet we've always had this open-ended question about coverage. So can you all address that, please?
I will. So when Ron said that they had two new Alameda County FAST members and they were just waiting for them to be sworn in, all the members that aren't county members, because they're already disaster service workers and they are already covered. Once they're sworn in as a disaster service worker, which is the swearing in process, then they're covered under the county's workman's comp plan.
But please, Sandy, but the question is about ILC people who are FAST members.
Well, then they would be sworn into their local county and they would be covered by their county as a DSW.
And that seems to be a problem.
Why?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering too, because I didn't have an answer to this question. This is Christina, sorry. And so Sandy, it sounds like because there is a formal swearing in, is why there's not a problem in becoming insured under the program in Alameda County. But, and Sherry, I think, were you I know you first came in through Alameda County, but do we have anybody who's not a county employee who is a part of FAST that has had this county insurance issue that could speak to it?
This is Sherry. You know, I don't recall any of our folks going through a swearing in process to make sure that they were covered under the county's workers' comp insurance. That may have happened back in 2007, 2008, but I do not recall that happening in Alameda County. And I don't believe the folks here in San Jose either went through that process, but I will check on that. Regardless, we have our own liability and workers' comp insurance. We understand and take that responsibility on as an independent living center in support of our county and in support of our community. So I think it's a good question that needs to be resolved, but it should not be the reason that folks from other community-based organizations, including Centers for Independent Living, are not part of the priority group of folks that are deployed for FAST.
Sherry, I think your point is very important, that you do, as a community-based organization, have your own coverage for people who do deploy.
There's also the issue of payment too. Who's paying the workers? Typically the employer is responsible for paying their employees who are dispatched. Then they can submit, there's a a process to submit a bill to the, if it's declared a, you know, state emergency, et cetera. I don't know the nuances of that. That's where the COAD and the VOAD are really helpful in those, in helping people understand those processes.
Yeah, this is Sherry again. Mike is absolutely right. During the 2017 floods in the neighborhoods from the Coweta Creek, from the Anderson Dam that overflowed, we did respond to that. And we kept track of our time, our staffing time and any expenses. And we submitted those to the city of San Jose because it was declared disaster. So that was not a problem at all. But again, it's because CADRE was deployed and FAST was deployed locally. However, the recent fires, there was no request for deployment. We self-deployed, and as a courtesy under the request from the Office of Access and Functional Needs to the Santa Cruz County area. And I took that responsibility on in those costs.
Yeah. So yeah, that's often, I think this is an issue that really needs to be focused on. You know, if we're going to get people participating from the community, I would suggest that, and I think it's an important issue. One of the things we've done is we've asked the non-county people to sign up with Red Cross as a mechanism to be able to get them through the Red Cross process, because obviously Red Cross is going to be at the shelters. So just as a workaround, that's a method that y'all should consider. But it's an issue I think really needs to get ironed out so that it can become part of the kind of the FAST, promotion and a clear understanding up front. So anyways, I think we should send that item somewhere up to the state, but I think it's going to involve several people, probably including attorneys, who knows.
I agree with that, Mike.
I see Vincent Fong on the phone, on the list here, and he's going to be presenting, one of the presenters next month.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's definitely, we're going to pin that on his list as well to do a deeper dive on, because I remember this issue going all the way back to 2007. And
yeah,
Sherry's point about individual coverage from the CDO is important, and it might be part of the solution, but I don't know. We'll have to probe that a lot further next month as well.
The other thing to put on his list for next month is the mutual aid process from county to county, not from the state, but from county to county.
So just to be clear, Mike, you mean mutual aid in terms of
for the FAST?
Like, can I borrow the FAST from Orange County or from San Bernardino to help out here in LA? Or
there's a very, very specific process.
Yeah.
And it's not clearly understood.
Right.
June, this is Ron. I would like to see, when I was an executive director for Alla Costa, FAST was rolling out, and I remember Sandy coming to me and asking me about it. One of my biggest concerns was about the liability and who was going to be paying for the staff, where was it going to be coming from? But when I heard about the swearing in, I kind of went, oh, I just think there should be a cleaner blueprint for organizations so they really know what entails, what does it mean? It's like, yeah, I have to get permission from my supervisor in order to be deployed. But then, I just think that the executive director or the people at B need to understand this is how it's going to impact your organization, but then it's also going to be impacting the whole community. But how does it all fit in? What's my liability? Who's paying for it? All that information should be listed out. And I thought at one point there was something that was given to organizations. That was a while ago, though.
There was some legislation that addressed this.
Okay. Also, June, Dana McCreary just put in the, with Santa Clara County, just put in the chat that all of the folks in Santa Clara County initially that had gone through the certification training were sworn in as disaster workers.
You know,
so thank you, Dana.
I want to make a point here that And one thing I learned during my years as a FAST trainer was that all counties are different, you know, and the state is limited into what they can push down to a county. They can't just dictate some of the stuff. So, you know, what LA County may choose to do may be very, very different than what Sonoma does.
Yep.
Vidal has a question or a comment.
Go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon. Oh, good morning. It's still morning. It's been a busy week. My name is Vidal Medina. I'm Assistant Change Advocate for Resources for Independent Central Valley. Our service area is five counties. So we're working with five counties with anything that we do as an ILC. We have satellite offices in Merced, staffed by one person, satellite office in Visalia, staffed with one person. And those are enormous counties population-wise, but also how they react to involvement from CBOs really is different based on CBO. Now, in Fresno County, we have a real good relationship with our ADA coordinator with the city of Fresno. She has helped us get leads into emergency preparedness. We've been identified with help from CFILC as well for the fires, for responding to those fires. So as an agency, we're doing a lot, but I like the fast track idea. One of the concerns is, how are the counties going to see such a team or program? Because in the past, I've been exposed to a lot of counties and municipalities that have said, well, you know, it looks like a duplication of services, and we've approached them only as an ILC. But now things are a little bit different. They're not seeing it that way if we're concise with the services that our independent living service, our independent living center can do for them. And we're just talking about emergency preparedness. But a lot of them are picking and choosing who they're going to let at the table, because a lot of them believe that they have paid staff, that's the liability issue, paid staff that can address those issues. A lot of them are using the ADA coordinators or persons that are assigned that position that aren't technically ADA coordinators. We happen to have a very good ADA coordinator with a lot of education experience. So she's been good to kind of present us as a go-to agency for some of the things that we've talked, that you folks have talked about with persons with disabilities and some of our concerns. So that's kind of what I wanted to add to that, because everyone is actually, it's the old adage, you're speaking to the choir, because I've been involved with these five counties and it's been difficult sometimes to even get your foot in the door. And we need the inside folks, but we also need the structure of what we're talking about and how well it works in other counties. And I'm glad for that. I'm hearing that today, and I can see that it does work. But this is five counties, and it's a new dynamic for just getting thrown in there. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Over.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. I don't see any other hands raised in the participant list. We only have about 3 minutes left. So just a reminder to please click on the link in the chat, the beginning of the chat, and give us some feedback about this call. And also please put on your calendar the call for next month and send
Hey, take care, be safe.
Send me any questions you have that you would like to make sure we forward on to the state for next month. And let's see what else. Oh, some of you asked me about a recurring invite for these meetings. Christina sent out the schedule earlier this morning. If you didn't get it, just let Christina know. We're not doing recurring calendar invites anymore because, frankly, it got to be a bit of a nightmare when people tried to correct things or people were using different kinds of calendars. And so we leave you that up to you to put the reoccurring invite into your own calendar. So that's why we're not doing that anymore. But thank you all for your robust discussion and for our panelists for not only a meaty list of things to do, but for your preparation time. And we look forward to part two next month. And thank you all very much. So with that, we'll sign off with 1 minute left.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, everyone.
See you guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye.
Thanks again to all you panelists.
Thank you.
Good job. Thanks for